Live from Cap Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. The dollar sign is extraordinary. On Friday, Governor Newsom's budget for the state of California has reached a whopping $306 billion. That's the highest in the nation by far. Yet, as the financial winds change here in the Golden State and around the country, a state once flush with cash not too long ago now finds itself in the hole. The governor announced that California is now facing a $31.5 billion shortfall. And while Newsom would not go as far as to describe California's economy as being in a recession, he did say that he is very aware that even a mild recession could have even more consequences on the state's financial future. So, how will he balance the books? What will get cut? What will be spared? And how did we get here? Joining us is Cap Radio state politics reporter Nicole Nixon, and we have H.D. Palmer, who knows numbers pretty well as he heads the state's Department of Finance. Good morning to you both.
Hey, good morning.
All right, Nicole, I want to start with you. Walking through the budget process, you know, we're familiar with the May revise, you know, but I don't know if everyone is familiar with it. So can you just explain the process of how we roll out the state budget?
Yeah, it actually starts in January. And this is where we get a sense of the governor's spending priorities for the year. But it's in pretty general terms because we don't have a kind of final accounting of what the state's finances will actually look like. Normally, that comes in May. Tax returns have come in. You know, our checkbook is kind of set for the year, and the governor will say, here's what I want to spend on. Then after that, he'll negotiate with the state legislature over a final spending plan that's supposed to be passed by the legislature in June. June 15th is their deadline, and the governor's deadline to sign that budget is June 30th, and then the new fiscal year begins on July 1st. This year's a little bit different with the, you know, with the finances. We're not totally sure what's all come in because those tax deadlines have been pushed until October. So, kind of a few different things going on this year that leave the picture pretty uncertain for the state.
Yeah, and those were due to those atmospheric rivers and emergency orders that took place across California at the beginning of the year. So you joined us at the initial projection of the state budget, which was $23 billion when a deficit. Now it's even higher. It's $31.5 billion. What's up with the difference?
Well, personal income taxes have come in a lot, you know, below forecasts. They're down across the, pretty much across the board. There's a huge drop in capital gains tax revenue also. A lot of this is from the state's highest earners. You sometimes hear about the volatility of California's tax system because it relies so heavily on those high-earning folks. The top 1% alone provides nearly half the state's income tax revenue. In good years, we'll see what that picture shakes out to be this year, though.
Okay, HD, I mean, you've gone over state budgets for many governors. You know, what are some of the issues for this state budget that's kind of complicating, you know, the process this year?
Well, Nicole just teed up one of the big ones, and that is the fact that we've had the Internal Revenue Service, for all the right reasons, delay the timetable for personal income tax payments this year, and the state complied with that and conformed their rules. That's big because April is obviously the biggest month for personal income tax in this state. And we and any other forecasters want to have that data in hand. We want to know how close we were to the pin, to use a golf term. Did we get close to our revenue expectations back in January? We won't know that now until mid-October because that's when the deadline's been pushed back. We've had tax deadlines pushed back in a matter of weeks, but never a matter of months like this. And that's important because we estimate that about $42 billion in total in tax receipts that we would have received in April and May have now been moved to October. Of that amount, about $28 billion is personal income tax, which is our largest source of general fund revenue. So that is one of multiple uncertainties that are out there that we have not had to face in recent years. There are a number of others. Briefly, the Federal Reserve just increased interest rates for the 10th time in the last year. They're very high. How's that going to affect things if they stay at that rate or if they go higher? We have the issue of uncertainty in the financial community. We've had three major bank failures since the governor's budget in January, each of which had a very large footprint in California's tech economy, and that's Silicon Valley Bank, Signature, and First Republic. We hope that things stay stable now. The actions of state and federal regulators stanched that problem pretty early on, but there's a lot of uncertainty as to whether or not there may be other banks that may have those repercussions. And one of the biggest issues that's still unresolved that could dramatically affect California and the nation and the world is the continuing impasse over the federal debt limit in Washington. The so-called zero date for when the federal government may run out of the ability to pay its bills because that debt limit hasn't been raised is in a matter of weeks. Now, the president is reportedly going to be meeting again with the congressional leaders tomorrow before he departs for a week-long trip overseas. And there are reports as of this morning that some of the staff have been making progress, but that's still uncertain. That's what folks have used to call a known unknown. And the repetitions, if the financial markets start getting skittish, are extremely important to the state for the exact reason Nicole was talking about, because of the outsized role that the financial markets play in our economy and the revenues that are derived by that small sliver of taxpayers whose income, unlike most of us who get our income from wages and salaries, their income is heavily dependent on things like capital gains and stock options and bonuses that are tied to stock payments, all of which vary and fluctuate with the changes in the market.
Given that you have the hindsight of being part of the Department of Finance with governors, both Republican and Democrat, over the years, more than a decade, you know, what you're setting up here, there's a myriad of challenges. But what I'm thinking about are the fact that, like, taxes are now due in October. Is this an unprecedented situation for the state?
Absolutely. The fact that we've bumped the tax payments back to October, yes, nothing like that has happened before. We have, in terms of the risk, we have kind of tiptoed up to the edge of the debt limit and past administrations and past Congresses, but we've never come into an impasse with the side so, you know, diametrically opposed in terms of their opening bargaining position. So all of that are risks to our forecast, and that's one of the reasons why the governor chose not to tap into the state's budget stabilization account or the rainy day fund in order to close this shortfall that got larger, as you noted at the top, by about $9 billion, because all of these uncertainties, which we can't control, could have a very quick and very negative effect on our outlook, which is why the things that we can control, like maintaining a sizable reserve, if that were to happen, is in the governor's view, the prudent way to go in order to pass a budget, close this gap, and be prepared for what might occur in the second half of this year.
Okay, given that the deficit grew by $9 billion in about 5 months, is it possible that the deficit can grow even more?
It's certainly possible, and any of those four things that we just talked about could tip it in the wrong direction. We've seen this, you know, slowing in personal income tax growth after we put out our last forecast in May and the budget was passed in June. We saw a dramatic decline in personal income tax withholding, which tracked pretty closely with the fact that the NASDAQ, the tech-heavy securities index, dropped by about 20% over calendar year 2022. That spilled over into 2023, and combined with higher interest rates and tighter credit policies by the Federal Reserve, all of those things kind of combined to continue to push our revenues down from where we and other forecasters thought they would be.
So given that the legislator is used to kind of being the ink is essentially dry by the time that they have to agree on a budget by June 15th, and then the governor gets about 2 weeks to sign it. But now there is this big uncertainty, given that they don't really know what the taxes are going to look like come October. How difficult is it to pass a budget so, like, months before taxes are actually due?
Well, it's usually difficult in any given year, but certainly the new risks that we're seeing this year heighten that uncertainty. All the more reason, in Governor Newsom's view, why we need to do a few things. One, we need to be clear-eyed and realistic about these risks that are out there and could happen, you know, conceivably in a matter of weeks after the deadlines that we have to meet in California to pass the budget. We need to make sure that we don't compound those risks, in the governor's view, by higher ongoing levels of spending in the state that may not be able to be sustainable. The governor believes we need to protect those core programs like education and healthcare and public safety, and to maintain and not cut back on those investments that are critical for the real problems in the near term that we face, like addressing the homeless crisis and dealing with the issues of availability and affordability of housing. So all of those things taken together are kind of the foundation for the governor's proposal. And again, for his reason to say the first thing we should not do right now is to tap the state's reserve, given all these real risks that we are confronting in the next coming weeks and months.
You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. And if you're just joining us, we're talking with CAP Radio state politics reporter Nicole Nixon and H.D. Palmer with the California Department of Finance about the governor's updated budget plan. Okay, so we have $31.5 billion shortfall. Nicole, how does the governor want to balance a budget shortfall?
There's quite a few sort of mechanisms going on here. He wants to delay about $8 billion in spending. So that had been talked about in previous years. I think just kind of stopping that or pushing it to future years, I guess you could call that a cut in a way. About $7 billion or more, shifting how projects are paid for. There's a lot of like campus construction, for example, that he wants to turn into bonds. A $1 billion new climate bond he's proposing. That would have to be approved by voters. There's $4 billion in trigger cuts that were proposed in January. So he didn't propose any new cuts. He has proposed about close to $7 billion in spending reductions and pulling back funding. Some of that is actually unused funds from like pandemic relief that actually didn't get spent. And then there is a renewed tax he's proposing on health insurers. This is called a managed care organization tax. I had some questions about this because, and maybe HD here can answer, because he proposed renewing this tax in January. And I think the numbers then was that it would raise about $6 billion over 3 years. In the latest budget, that's gone up to $19 billion. So I think, you know, Newsom's administration said that they'd be announcing more information about that tax soon.
So, H.D., how do you balance a budget with no new cuts?
Through a balanced proposal. The governor laid out a roadmap to close $22.5 billion in January. We are foregoing a lot of spending. We're shifting some funding to bonds, as Nicole said, from general fund. One of the things we did very briefly when we had that large surplus last year is we were smart with the surplus. We committed a lot of money other than one-time spending that was important, such as the inflation relief checks that went out, to things that could be pulled back if we had to trim our sales, which we have had to do.
So there's some flexibility.
There has been some flexibility, exactly. And so, you know, we realized that, you know, it's not a snapper. It's not easy to close a budget gap of this sort. But the governor thinks we've got a balanced approach to do this by maintaining the reserves. And the one thing, and I can painfully attest to this from past budgets and past shortfalls, is the one thing we have not had to resort to close these gaps is the wholesale cuts deeply or completely in core programs that had to be put on the table back during, the Great Recession in 2009, 2010, when the revenues collapsed and Governor Schwarzenegger at the time had to put forward a number of different proposals that dwarfed what's on the table right now in terms of nearly deep cuts or wholesale eliminations of, for example, CalWORKs, the state's welfare to work program. And he said at the time, and I remember saying it on his behalf, that you could not advocate this as a smart public policy decision, but the magnitude of the gap at the time compelled him to put that on the table. Fortunately, we're not in that situation now. That said, I don't want to diminish the fact that these are tough decisions. Mm-hmm. It's understandable that we want to commit more money to some of these areas sooner, and we've had to push back on that. And so that's part of the balancing act or the trade-offs that we have to do to close a budget gap of this size without having to resort to those kinds of deep programmatic cuts that we saw in the past.
And of course, there is criticism when it comes to the governor's decisions for balancing the budget from Republican state lawmakers.
Oh, sure.
I mean, Sacramento State Senator Roger Niello, for example, said that, you know, they would recommend that the state take a more sustainable path on spending, reduce the desire to borrow during this time of high and increasing interest rates, and essentially preparing for a worsening economy. What is your response to that?
Well, first of all, we're not borrowing heavily here. We, in the past, and Senator Nilo was here when we had to do this, we had to resort to short-term borrowing from the financial markets for our cash flow purposes to make sure that we had enough of balance over in between our when we get in our money and when our bills go out to pay our bills. Those were called revenue anticipation notes. So we had to go to external financing to do that. Fortunately, we are in a position now where we do not have to do that. We have adequate cash resources on hand, so we don't have to go to the markets to borrow for cash flow purposes. We do see economically that we are, again, if these risks don't occur, and we hope they don't, we are returning to a more predictable and stable but lower rate of growth. One of the good things is we came out of the COVID-19 pandemic a lot faster and a lot stronger than the rest of the nation because that group of taxpayers, that small group, was able to pivot to a remote work environment and not lose their income. And their income helped, you know, propel us from a revenue standpoint out of that downturn a lot faster than we were. That's slowing now. Those capital gains, as the market's retrenching a bit, are going back to, you know, much lower levels, but more predictable trend levels that we've seen in the past. So it's more of an issue economically of dealing with a new reality or a new normal that doesn't deal with that kind of spike growth that we saw coming out of the COVID recession. But again, there are these risks that are out there that are real, and we need to pay attention to them. And that's why the governor has put forward his proposal and is leaving the balance in the budget stabilization account or the rainy day fund intact, because we may need it down the road if things go in the wrong direction. Hmm.
The chairwoman for the California Republican Party, Jessica Milan Patterson, I mean, she was quick to point out that states like Texas and Florida have budget surpluses, and she says because they don't spend like California does. Is it as simple as that?
No, it's not. We look back at what we had last year when we had a significant surplus. We didn't commit the sins of the past in California. We would say, we think these revenues are going to go on forever, so let's have more spending, more ongoing spending, and commit the state to long-term budget increases that may not be sustainable. Instead, the governor and the legislature were smart with that surplus last year. They said, let's use it to build up our reserves, to pay down past debts. To the extent that we do have new spending, make it one time in nature for near-term issues, such as those inflation relief payments that went out in the fall to help consumers deal with those high prices. And to the extent that we're committing that one-time spending on multiple years, let's do it in a way where if things go in the wrong direction, we're able to dial back that spending while protecting some of the core programs so that we're not cutting into the muscle and cutting into the bone. We think we've been able to do that with this budget proposal. It doesn't mean that it's going to be easy. These are tough decisions, not only that the governor had to put on the table, but the legislature's got to consider because, as Nicole said, the constitutional deadline for the legislature to pass a budget is June the 15th. That's 1 month from today.
Yeah. Well, finally, Nicole, what are you going to be looking out for in the next 4 weeks? Because state lawmakers, they don't get paid if they don't agree on a budget by the 15th, right?
Yeah, that's right. And I think in 2020, there was a big deficit that was overestimated. But, you know, a lot of these hard decisions were being talked about 3 years ago. One thing they do is pass a placeholder budget and then to meet that deadline. And then, you know, they have a couple more weeks. I think they flew right under the deadline in 2020. But there will be some discussions in these negotiations. I think public transit and a raise for child care workers will be big sticking points for legislative leaders.
Thank you both so much, Nicole and HD.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Nicole Nixon is Cap Radio state politics reporter, and HD Palmer is with the California Department of Finance, breaking down the state's budget. You're listening to Insight on your NPR station, Cap Radio. I'm Vicki Gonzalez.